Well, good evening. Good to see you tonight. God bless you for being here. Let's take a hymn book. Turn to page 638. 638. I need thee every hour. Let's stand together and sing it. 638.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
I know a lot of us were praying just a few days ago, watching the radar, praying, say, God, please, it looks like that storm is aiming right at us. I need thee. We need them every hour. Every hour. On the third now.
I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Well, thank you. You may be seated. And delighted to see you tonight, and glad everybody's here and together and weathered the storm okay. I left ahead of the storm. I left Becky here to face it by herself. I was scared. No, she had Aaron and Jenny around, and the girls took care of her, and that's good. And I left Thursday. There was no service Thursday night, was there?
No, sir.
Okay, I left Thursday. I left Thursday and got up the road into South Carolina. They were evacuating. The hotels were closed and everything like that. I had a reservation. I thought, well, I'm good. I got there. They closed the hotel. The doors were locked. And I didn't know what to do, so I just kept going. A little further, I found a place. And then on Friday, I went into where the meeting was going to be and was there that night. And then Saturday, drove through the rain over about 4 hours east to Greenville, North Carolina. Well, they couldn't have church Sunday morning either. And at that time, at church Sunday morning, there was a curfew. The city was under curfew. And the rivers were 7 feet above flood stage. And what they told me was, if you're going to leave, you better leave now. Because it's going to go up 20 feet more. And it did. It did. And they're still in the flood. Because they're down on the East Coast, and all the mountains, all the water from the mountains and everything, the runoff just kept coming. But great meeting at Southwide. If you haven't heard about it, why, others around can tell you about it. And a very tiring week, of course. And I learned, now that I'm moving out of Florida, I'm getting up where the weather's colder, and I'm going to have to put up with this with my voice. Isn't that that's a wonderful thing to learn, isn't it? It just really is. Mary, it's so good to see you able to be back in church tonight. Amen. Wow. God bless you. I'm glad you're here. I know you're glad to be out of that chair. But I'm glad you're here. I've been around tonight saying goodbye to Children's Music Academy and over to the young people and having prayer with them and tell them if they don't live for God, I'm going to come back and kill them. But no, not really. But I'm just saying goodbye to them. And I'm going to take a little time to do that here in this crowd here tonight also and review some things of the past 20 years here with us tonight. We won't do that on Sunday. There'll be a book that will have some of that in it, but I'm just going to share some things that the Lord has brought to mind that I just wanted to remind myself of and remind you of. And so we'll do that tonight. Anybody need a prayer list that did not get one as you came in? Right down the center aisle here, we have some. Right down the center aisle. Any others around on this side over here, Brother Dave? If you will, any others anywhere? All right. Okay, very good. Pastor Sears, if you will, come share the list with us tonight.
We're praying for our president and all our government officials and praying for the peace of Israel and our missionaries serving in the Middle East. Praying for the upcoming elections. Only God can make sense out of this mess. And God can. And He's got everything under control. He's not worried and He's not wringing His hands. And so we need to trust in Him. But it's something that we can bring to His throne and something that we can do what God has directed us to do. Brenda Bowen's son, Jerry, is having radiation and chemo treatments. Pray for Jerry, if you will. Kelly Simmons' nephew is missing. And I don't know anything about that particularly. We just got back a little bit ago. But pray for this nephew, please. Bev Routier's sister, Carrie, is receiving chemo. And these last three words you can cross off. Amen. Bev told me tonight, said that she received Christ as her Lord and Savior. Amen. And so she is... She said she was rejoicing and praising God for that answer to prayer. And so we're rejoicing with her about that. And her sister is going to refuse the treatments, she said. She wants to enjoy every moment that she has that God has given to her and with her family. Pray for grace in all of this situation. And so rejoice with you, Miss Bev. God bless you for your faithful witness and your prayers. Rod and Rose Vincent, our missionaries of the Navajo in New Mexico, are trying to get the deed to the land that they've been leasing for decades. And so pray that God will work a miracle there. Marie Bowder has severe pain in her leg from arthritis and inflammation. Also, doctors told Marie's daughter, Tammy, that they think she might have lupus. So they're dealing with a lot there in the Bowder family. Pray for them, please, tonight. Kay Sherrill, as you know, we announced last week the stroke that she had in her left eye, and she's left with no vision in that eye. The doctors, outside of an out-and-out restorative kind of miracle of God, that's going to be a permanent situation for her. So pray for God's strength and help in this. And, of course, Gary, he was undergoing surgery, I believe, on Monday. Went in for surgery, and so pray for both of them, if you will. Mary Decker has shingles. It was good to see her But pray for her going through this painful thing. Sharon Gaddy's brother-in-law, Louis Lieto, has lung cancer in both lungs. Doctors say there's nothing they can do, and he is unsaved. Pray the Lord will have opportunity, and folks will give the gospel to him, please. Erica Moat had foot surgery, will not be able to work for 6 weeks. Pray for Erica at this time. Also, Margot Cordes' grandson, Zachary, we're praying for him. Got an update today, and although he has a bushel full of problems, he has shown amazing advancement, and God has healed him in so many ways, but continue to pray as he's going through physical therapy. Mary Butler is in a nursing home in Castleberry. Jean Ann Godby, Lydia Buck, and Mark Fleming, praying for all of these, along with Rod Mills, and I already mentioned Gary Sherrill, Rick Elkins, and Ramsey Butler, Wesley Perry, Stacy Libby's father, and Ray Procius, Carol Alderman, Alicia Robles, and Rosalie Rehnquist, Lou Sukup's neighbor Daryl, Stephen Van Ravensway, and Rusty Chakowski's father, Scott Thompson, and Jerry Huber, Roger Nickel, and Paul Trentum, praying for all of these. And the Sweets, our missionaries in Costa Rica, as well as Brittany Zalagi, raising support to go to Romania. And what a marvelous thing to have folks that are from our church, a second young lady now that's fixing to go to the mission field. Please pray that God will open up the doors in the churches for her to be able to get the support to go to the field. And then in the nursing home at Orange City, Mary Lou Seaver and Ann Sperry, and at DeBerry Manor, Dot Daniels, and then these many names in the armed forces that are listed here for us. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, God is able and sufficient in every situation, and I'm glad to know that. Boy, I look down through this list again, and I just, you know, I've said it often, but again, I was reminded tonight, you just get to where you hate the word cancer. Yes. You just hate the word, the sound of the word. You just hate it. I'm going to ask Adam, wherever you are, come platform, if you will, lead us in prayer. And good to have Adam and Jessica and the kids. If you haven't met Wesley, you need to meet Wesley. Oh, man, he's coming along. And he's walking now, and he's getting to where he can get a hold of things that are breakable and everything like that. You know, it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful age that he's at right now, and that's so good. But it's good to have them here and in for this Sunday, of course, and others of the kids will be coming. April's here also. April just got in. I hadn't seen her until I came on the platform. But I'm glad they're getting here early enough to help wrap stuff and get it in boxes, and that's good. I want to say this. You never know how things will go, but at this point right now, our house is through inspection, and the appraisal came in good, and everything on the buyer's part is coming along well. And it looks like that the Lord has answered prayer that we haven't mentioned here, but you know that we've been praying about the sale of the house. And it looks like that's ready in the works and happening, and everything's moving along good for that. And didn't lose as much money on it as we'd lost a couple of years ago, if it had been a couple of years ago. So it recovered a little bit. And we're glad for that. We're glad for that. I thank you all for everything. Pray one for another. How many of you have burdens on your heart, something you're praying for? As you pray tonight, I want you to pray. I'll say this again Sunday, but I won't say it as intimately as I say it to you folks who are here tonight. I do want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for Becky. I want you to pray in this time. It's a big change for us. And you that are older know, the older you are, the harder change is. It just is. And so be much in prayer for us. If you'll do that, I'll appreciate it so much. And I'm through. Adam, come pray.
I thought about just having a seat for a while because I wasn't sure how long that was going to... I'm just kidding. It's good to be here tonight, and I'm glad to see so many familiar faces. And if you know Van, if you knew Van 8 years ago, then you know Wesley, pretty much. They are twins. We were looking at pictures from Van being one yesterday, and that's what Wesley's going to be in 2 weeks. And they're twins. They're twins, just separated by about 8 years. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. And our Father, we are a blessed people.
Yes.
Lord, I speak for myself, Lord, we find it easy to complain about difficulties. It's too hot, it's too cold, we find ways to complain. But Lord, when I think about what the people of Haiti are dealing with, God, we've got it good. We have electricity tonight. We have a safe place to meet. And Lord, we are a blessed people. But Lord, we're a needy people too. We need revival. Lord, our political situation in America is a direct result of our spiritual situation in America. God, you didn't call the Congress to stand up and do what's right, unless they're Christian. You didn't really even call the president to stand up and do what's right. You called Christians to stand up and do what's right. We need to fill in the gap. We need to quit playing church. Lord, get real about this matter of Christianity. Lord, I I've prayed for my church, and I pray for VCBC, the home place also, Lord, that you would send revival. God, we are a spiritually destitute country. And no matter who wins the election, Lord, we all lose if Christians do nothing. Now, Father, we come to you tonight with these prayer requests. And Lord, I can't mention them all. I thank you for the good news of salvation tonight. Lord, I thank you for the good news of the young lady that got saved at our church last night, Lord. And thank you so much for that. Lord, but there are many, many needs. I thank you that you're a caring, loving God. I don't know how our world doesn't see that, but they somehow don't see that you are a caring and loving God. And Jesus died because of the love and care. And Lord, as much as you care for our souls, Lord, you care about our difficulties as well. And I pray, Father, that in each one of these situations that have been mentioned tonight, and even those that weren't mentioned but were represented by a raised hand, Lord, that you would have your will and way as you work to accomplish your will in our lives. Lord, may we be accepting of what you say and do, and Lord, may we be ready to follow where you lead us.
Yes.
And I know that stepping outside of our comfort zone is not easy, but Lord, that's what you want us to do, to get out and to get uncomfortable for you. Lord, as we meet together tonight, I pray that the name of Jesus will be lifted high, and that everything we say and do will glorify his name. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good to hear you again, Brother Adam. God bless you, sir. Pastor Adam. Amen. That's great. 496. 496. Sing it from your hearts. You don't have to stand, but sing it from your hearts unto the Lord. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Here we go. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me.
how much he cared for me. Third verse. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me, till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
All right, very good. He does care. He does care for us. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Well, let's stand together in fellowship. What's our fellowship song tonight?
Fellowship song. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
I guess I'll sing. He couldn't get those high notes either whenever he was leading that song. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Greet those around you. Shake hands. See if you can find somebody you don't know.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
God bless you. You may be seated. There's something special about singing God's word. You get to praise Him with His own words. And God likes that. God likes that. So make sure that you load up your revolver with some of those good songs taken right from Scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, you know. Seek ye first. All those kinds of songs taken from Scripture. That's good. And that's why congregational singing is so important. All right. Now, tomorrow morning, 6:45. Tomorrow morning in here, 6:45. If you would please help the cleaning go on for Anniversary Sunday. We've got some folks that can't be here. We know that some folks are moving away. Paul and Sharon Gaddy, they're like anchor points here all the time. Every Friday morning, they're here like clockwork, you know, with all the rest of the crew, and they're moving up north to be with their family up where colder country is. Can't figure that out, but anyway, But we understand, but we need people to replace folks as God transplants them. So if you would please, you might be able to help tomorrow morning, and perhaps you cannot help on Saturday morning. So at Saturday morning, we meet at 9 o'clock, and we have a lot of the mulch is already done. But there's some trim work to do, some mulching to do, tables and chairs to set up for the dinner and all of that, getting ready for Anniversary Sunday. And I ask all of the choir and orchestra to be here at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock to be here for practice on Sunday morning. So 9 o'clock for work on Saturday, 9 o'clock for practice, getting ready for Sunday. Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock. Make sure and be here in your place. Servers, if you're helping serve for the meal, if you'll please be here at 9 o'clock for all of your preparations and all of that. Nancy, is that correct? 9 o'clock. And so if you'll please plan on being here for that, and that'll be marvelous. We'll have the service on the television out there in the activities building, so people won't have to miss anything. And we're looking forward to a great junior church. Brother Joe, God bless you, sir, wherever you went. I saw you here earlier. Okay, you moved on me, okay. All of your team, Super Church, Master Club, and all of that, thank you so very much for providing that on such a big day, and look forward to a lot of visitors here with us. So that's all that I have, but the most important, the most imminent one is tomorrow morning, 6:45. So any folks that aren't usually part of the team on Friday mornings, that tomorrow morning, as an anniversary push, that you could perhaps show up tomorrow morning at 6:45. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Raise your hand, 6:45. And going once, going twice, we're going to have to go to the teens. Okay, one. Okay, do we have two more? Just two more. 6:45. I see one. He's right there. Okay, there's another one, and there's one right there. Okay, there's three. Okay, so we'll see you at 6:45. Amen. That'll be great. Thank you.
Well, I saw the chairs were delivered early for Anniversary Sunday, and I saw you make good use of them last Sunday morning outside. I saw the pictures, and the first picture I got, I thought, what in the world? And then I read a little bit about it, and we're having church outside. And so that's good. That's good. Now, here it went well, and that's fantastic. That's great. I hear that Brother Hilton from down at the Journey at First Baptist Church was here for church last Sunday. Is it true that he got saved last Sunday when he came in? Oh, my. If you see him, you tell him I said that. Huh? He live streamed, okay. Ushers, come forward if you will. We met this week at Shining Light Baptist Church in Monroe, North Carolina, a southeastern suburb of Charlotte. This is not a really a large church, but a church with a lot of ministries. And one of the ministries they have, which they've taken on that is beyond what you would think they can do, is Shepherd's Place Children's Home. They have a children's home. And a ministry like that is just terribly demanding. And the need was presented there. And that church is carrying probably over 90% of the burden. And the need was presented there at Southwide this week. And one pastor went home, and last night in the service, they voted again supporting the children's home, $500 a month. I thought Pastor Cruz, there at Shining Light, I thought he was going to have a shouting spell. He absolutely was beside himself. So what I want us to do tonight is give the offering to that ministry, and maybe it'll be enough, we'll get him shouting again, okay? Father, I thank you for the ministry of Shining Light Baptist Church. I thank you for Pastor Cruz and the people there and their hard work these last few days to get that building to where we could meet in it. Father, what a monumental effort, and what a wonderful blessing you gave, and I thank you for it. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless what we do tonight to be an encouragement to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's wonderful to have Adam and Jessica here with us. And, you know, in the ministry, they say, be ready always to preach, pray, sing, or die. And Miss Jessica, we called her up and said, would you sing tonight? And, well, she said, sure, I'll do my best. And here she is. And just thank God for you all and for your ministry, what God's doing through you. God bless you, Jessica.
To see the dawn of the darkest days, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried my sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross.
Torn in two, the dead are raised.
If you have your Bible, chapter 2. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is giving words of advice to Timothy. As far as we know, of the recorded books that Paul wrote, and I'm certain that there were other books that Paul wrote, but the ones we have recorded are the ones God gave to him directly. Now, that doesn't mean he wasn't conscious of God in writing other letters. It doesn't mean he was not writing consistent with the will of God and all the revealed word of God. It just simply means the ones that are preserved for us are the ones that God gave directly from him. I have a tendency to believe it was word for word. People say, well, that's just dictation. Well, you know, it's not so much this way now as it used to be, but it used to be if a man had a secretary and he's going to write a letter, what did he do? He dictated a letter. That's what he did. He said, this is what I wanted to say. Now, sometimes there are secretaries who feel they need to improve on what the boss said. And I've experienced that. And after reading the letter, it was not the way that I dictated it. And I said, don't change what I said. Well, I thought it would sound, I don't want it to sound better the way you think it would sound better. I want it the way I said it. And anyway, I do not presume to be the Apostle Paul. I've never really had a problem with that kind of identity. I've never presumed myself to be something like that. I've never presumed myself to, whenever I speak, there was a term in years going by, and in some circles it may still be used. It was called pulpit inspiration. And they tended to believe that whenever a man was in the pulpit, that what he said was the Word of God. Now, if he's preaching the Bible, he's reading the Scripture, he may say good things, but God's not saying to him, say this, say this, say this, and giving him those words. The Catholics have a doctrine called ex cathedra, which means from the throne, from the seat of authority. And when the Pope speaks ex cathedra, it is as much God's word as this book. Now, that's a doctrine of Catholicism. And it's wrong. It's wrong. As are many other things. But that's not for tonight. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And there's the process that God gave. The things that you've heard among many witnesses, commit to those who are faithful. Commit that. In other words, what you heard, what you learned, teach others, that they in turn may be able to teach others also. So you have four generations right there. Just boom, 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 boom. You've heard from me. You heard. Commit to faithful men who shall teach others also. four generations right there. How many generations since that time? Oh, my. And the church has been through difficult times through the ages. Looked like the church was out of business. But God's always had a witness.
Amen.
God has revived His work every time He needed to. And the church goes on. I said this week, and I say it to you again tonight. We have lived in this country in a time of a benevolent culture. You know, there was a time in America, in this country, whenever people would talk about getting right with God. And that term, everybody understood. I mean, almost without exception, people understood that meant getting saved. That's what they understood by that. And they used many terms that today are somewhat confusing. But in times going by, they were not confusing because the culture understood that we were talking about getting saved, living for God, and obeying the Bible. But today you have to be so specific about terms. Today, if you say he became a Christian, that can mean anything to people in this society. It didn't used to be like that. It used to be, it meant he got saved. It even used to be that whenever you said he joined the church, it was a given that he got saved. They understood that because it was a benevolent culture. And the culture itself was accepting of Christian terminology and of what Christians believed, and had, the culture had a respect for God. But that changed. The culture today has no respect for God. The culture today has no respect for the Bible as the Word of God. The culture today has no regard for the moral standards of the Bible as being proper moral standards. That's the culture. And I could go on about that in various illustrations. But in days gone by in this land, there was not only a benevolent culture toward Christianity and God and the Bible. There was a benevolent government. The government was kind toward the Christian faith. They were kind toward churches. They were kind toward Christian stands for morality. The government was kind toward that. It doesn't mean they endorsed anything. It doesn't mean they required everybody to be that way. It was just the government was benevolent. They did not oppose Christian morals. They did not oppose Christian testimony. The government did not oppose churches. But that's changing. The culture has changed and been changed for some time. But government is changing.
Government is changing. This is my last Thursday night here. I'm going to say this. I want you to read the platform of the national political parties. I'm not going to read it to you. But you need to read the platform. Platform is built out of planks. Now, this platform is not built out of planks. This platform is built out of concrete. And that's the difference between a political party and the Word of God. Political platforms are built out of planks. The Word of God's concrete. I cannot believe the difference. It has never been, I don't think, not in my lifetime, and I don't think it would have been before my lifetime, but never in my lifetime have the platforms been so different. And you can argue and debate and everything like that, and it has absolutely nothing. They're not debating policy. They are debating personalities. But the platforms are so dramatically different. And I cannot encourage you to vote a person, but I would encourage you to vote a platform. And you ought to avail yourself of the opportunity to see what's said. Now, I'm going to come to what I have to share with you tonight. And I have a few minutes to do this. Not many, and I won't take a whole lot. But I want to share with you some things about the last 20 years. I'm just going to talk to you. Sometimes I may ask you for other input on some of the things because I know I can't remember these things. But in the last 20 years, there's been a lot of unique things happen here in this church. That's true of every church. It's true of every life. It's true of every situation. But I want to share some things about this situation, about this church. How many of you have been in this church over 10 years? Raise your hand. How many? Okay, 35? Something like that. How many of you have been here over 15 years. Well, they're getting few, over 15 years. How many of you been here the whole 20, or almost the whole 20? It's very few, very few. So there's some things that the vast majority of you here tonight do not know about this place, but some unique things. I want to say just a word about the way we've invested our time and money. Before we had a building, before we had property, before we had anything like that, in the very, very early days, we adopted the park down here called Dickinson Park, across from City Hall, between City Hall and the library. That park there with the fountains, lovely, lovely place. When I came to town, it was an ugly mess. Tony Yeba wrote a letter in the little publication Orange City does every month, mails out. He wrote a letter saying we need some help with some places around town. And I was a new pastor in town. I went up to the mayor's office, sat there for a little while, and whenever they showed me in, he said, yes, sir, who are you? And so forth, like this, introduced myself. I said, I'm a new preacher in town. And I said, what can we do to help? What can we do to help? He said, you see that park across the street? He said, you can clean that up. Warren Swainston, Gleason, Johnson, I don't remember who else, two or three others, we got out there. We got out there, we pulled weeds, we tore down old timbers that they had stacked up and had weed growing out over. They weren't flowers. We tore those things out of there, planted flowers, raked and mowed and cleaned and did everything. We did that. Now, we didn't really invest much money in that, except in some mulch and so, but we invested our time. I had no idea. But Mayor Yeba told me later, he stood over there and looked out the window from City Hall and said, "I don't believe that. I don't believe that." And here's these church people out there doing what he asked them to do. We gave money to the city. I was down at city council meeting one night, and they were discussing putting irrigation around the building where city council meets. Because the grass was really bad, and it was not grow because there was no irrigation there and everything like that. And it was just a small area. And the city council was going back and forth about this and how much it was going to cost and how much it was going to cost. And I don't know how long, but I finally walked up to the microphone. They recognized me. I said, "How much money are you guys talking about?" And they said, "Well, it's probably going to cost around $200. I said, "I'll go back to the church and take up an offering. We'll get you $200. And they looked at me. "Really?" I said, "Yeah." The next Thursday night, we took up an offering, gave them $200, put irrigation around the building. There's a little park down here, just off our property. You know the problem that's been down there for years. Problem with drug dealers. I thought they were from the community. They're not from the community. They're people that come in from Sanford and other places and set up business down there. And there were two men. The dear man across the street down here, he lived in a little yellow house. His widow lives there now. His name was Gideon. And the man right across the street over here, Mr. Morin, they came into my office. And they said, "Preacher, if you wanted to, you could do something about that problem down there." And I looked at him, I said, "You want me to do something?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "It's not going to happen overnight." They said, "We know that." I said, "Okay, let's see what we can do." We had a word of prayer. I went down and talked to the mayor. I said, "What's the problem? Why can't you guys deal with this?" They said, "It's a revolving door." Now, I don't know that this is true. But you learn a lot of things whenever you get involved with these people. You know that some of that's a source of income for local governments. Dealers have money. They lock them up. They post their bond. And they don't care if they lose the money. So they just don't show up for court. Government keeps the money. It's a source of revenue. That revolving door is a source of revenue. Don't tell anybody I said that. They said, "You know, the charge is not, it's not we can't charge them. It's just a misdemeanor. Generally, it's just a misdemeanor. We can't get them on a felony charge. I said, if there's a meeting place for children, doesn't that up it to a felony? And they said, yeah, that'll up the charge. So I came back to the church, and I talked to the church. And what we did was we took money and gave to the city to build that little park down there. This church did that. Didn't help a whole lot. But they got more revenue out of it because of the higher charge. And there's things like that around here. This Christmas, they'll put out reindeer, and they'll put out, I guess they will again this year. I don't know. I don't know how things are going, what's going to happen. And little figures that they had around in the park and so forth like that. And it was not in the budget to deal with. So what did they do? They called me. We took up an offering, gave them the money to make their little figures. In the city. Now in the city we've invested. Current administration doesn't know anything about that. You know, it's a whole different deal. City managers have gone over and over and round and round different. But we've done that. The investment of time and effort we've made in new churches. Man, we've loaded people up on a bus and gone clear over to St. Cloud. Knocked on doors, spent the day over there, handing out literature, knocking on doors. We've gone all the way to Ocala, helped get that church started over there, Friendship Baptist Church in Ocala, to get that started, visited up and down. We've driven over there to get the charter done. Many of you here drove over there to get that church chartered and get that thing going. And it's going. I mean, it's a good church. It's a good church. Thriving church. New churches. You know, I don't have to talk to you about that. And then there's things that break your heart. Things that break your heart. Make you mad too sometimes. I went to Indian River. I'm leaving town. I don't care. I went to Indian River Baptist Church, preached their 15th anniversary after starting and pastoring that church, same time pastoring this church, pastoring that church for 6 months. Good day. Two folks saved. Young lady baptized. Good day. A week and a half later, I get a call from the chairman of the board of deacons in that church. Next Wednesday night, I was over there again, meeting with that church, hugging and crying and weeping with them, because their pastor, who I loved and helped and did everything I could for him, had taken up with his best friend's wife. What do you do? So I'm just sick of helping people. I don't want to help them. No, no, no. You keep helping people. You keep helping people. You keep doing it. You got to do what God does. You can't give up on it. Now, do I want to see him? No, I don't want to see him. Do I want to help him? No, I don't want to help him. Now, I'm talking just personally. I want to get about six or eight of you with me and go get a ball bat and find it. And if you're watching, I mean it. This church has helped churches all over this country. I don't know how many churches we've bought hymn books for. We haven't done that for a long time. But we have given hymn books to churches everywhere. And I'm not talking old worn out books that we're throwing away. I'm talking about we buy them, the publisher ships them to that church, brand new in the boxes. Now, sometimes we've helped them like that, with particularly after we replaced our hymnals here in the church. We gave away the others. Whenever we moved into this building, we had extra chairs. All these chairs were bought for this building. We had very similar chairs over in that building. You could almost mix them, and you wouldn't tell the difference until you mixed them and put them together. You would tell the difference. But we didn't have any place to put some of the others. Grace Baptist Church in Royston, Georgia. They thought they'd died and gone to heaven. We loaded up 150 chairs and sent them up there free of charge. And those people thought they were the most wonderful things they'd ever seen in their life.
He still talks about that.
Oh, does he?
Andy still talks about that.
Forgot we had a rep from up there. In the earliest days when we were over on Volusia Avenue, we bought a bus. Malcolm and George and Randy and I don't know where the time went. We went, man, I'm telling you, we went down somewhere in Orlando. I didn't know where we were. They knew, I guess, but I didn't know where I was. And we got this old bus and brought it up here, and we'd park it over there on Sunday. We tried to leave it there during the week, and they made us get it out of there during the week. Jim Dumkowski let us park it at his house. And we bring it up on Sunday. Malcolm and Mary get in there and have children's church in the bus on Sunday. It was okay in the wintertime. In the summertime, get a little hot in there. We didn't do it too long. Still had the bus around, put the front seats back in it, and somebody was starting a church somewhere and needed a bus, and we gave them the bus. There's never been a stingy bone in the body of this church. And we tried to be wise. Not stupid. But there's never been a stingy bone in the body of this church. We've invested money in keyboards. The churches that were starting, we were up in Ohio, and a church up there, Troy, I can't even think of his last name, but Voices of Victory were singing there, and they had a keyboard. They had a keyboard there that probably 2/3 of the keys were all that played. Some of the keys weren't even there. I mean, there was just a blank spot. And I said, Troy, how do y'all do that? He said, I don't know. They just, you know, do whatever. I said, would you like to have a keyboard? He said, would I like to have a keyboard? This church gave him a keyboard. Last I heard, that's been a number of years ago. Last I heard, they're still using it. I don't know if there's any keys left on it or not, but they're still using it. In missions, the things that we have done. It just goes on and on and on. Some of you were in the service the night that the folks from the Philippines came. They were trying to raise $25,000 to buy a building. They had they had the workforce. I mean, they had the manpower. They were going to tear it down, move that steel. I mean, like Legos or erector sets. Did any of you guys ever have an erector set when you were a kid? They were going to tear it down, move it to their property, and reassemble it. If there's anything harder than putting up a steel building, it would be putting one up that you had to tear down. I don't know how you do that, but they did it. They said, we can do that. We can do that. And the building would cost $25,000. Huge building. Huge building. It didn't have sides all the way down. The front was kind of closed in, but the other three sides were just open, just a pole barn type of thing, if you understand what that is. And so after they had this little quartet that sang, and, you know, Filipino quartet trying to sing Southern gospel music. Now, just a little talk with Jesus, make it right. Now, let us have a little talk with Jesus. You know, everybody loved it. We loved it. And Emmanuel Keyzon, he got up and he preached and he told about the need and everything like that. And after he finished, in my heart, I thought, you know, we ought to do something good. We ought to do something good. We ought to give him $5,000. So I got up after he got there and I said, folks, what do you think we ought to do? What do you think we ought to do? They said, what do you think, preacher? I said, I don't know. It seems like if we could do 20% of it, it would be a good thing. And somebody said, I said, that's $5,000. Somebody said, could we do 10? I said, well, the money is in the missions account. We've got that much money in the missions account if you want to do that. I didn't say I don't want to, but, no more than that got said until somebody else says, could we do 15? And then somebody said, how much money's in the missions account? And at that time, I don't know, there was like $50,000, $60,000 in the missions account. And I think it was Chuck Kent, wasn't it? Probably was Chuck Kent, wasn't it? Probably was. He said, preacher, why don't we give him the whole $25,000? Was he that generous with you, Dot? Was he? I said, well, what do you want to do? Somebody said, I move we do it. Somebody else said, I second the motion. Now, you don't always do that. But sometimes it seems like God is in that. Now, they were thrilled about that. But I'm going to tell you something. It did more for this church than it did for them. It was electric in that room right over there. I mean, hair standing up on the back of your neck. I mean, it was electric in there. We gave them $25,000. Not only that, we paid their expenses in addition to that and gave them a love offering for coming. Missionaries. We've given missionaries cars. Here the other night, Daniel Tutt was here. He needed $13,000 to buy a car. Now, I don't know what kind of car he can buy in Romania for $13,000. I don't know. I think that was the number. Wasn't that the number? $13,000? Was that the number? Something like that. And I'm up here talking about it. While I'm up here talking about it, one of the men of the church goes outside, gets on the website, and online gives $13,000 while we're in here voting to give him $13,000. And he got $26,000. He said, whoa, I can buy a better car now. Now, that's, you know, what am I saying? I'm just saying it has been a fun ride. I would like to talk about the benevolence to our community. I don't have time to do that. I'm going to go quickly down through here some other things. We've studied the Bible. Many of the books we've gone through word for word, like what I read tonight, 2 Timothy. We've been through 1 Timothy. We've been through 2 Timothy. We've been through Titus. We've been through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. We've been through Jude. We've been through Revelation. We've been through Galatians. We've been through various subjects. We've been through the second coming. We've been through prayer. We've been through the Holy Spirit. We've been through the seven churches of Revelation. We've been through those things. The things that thou hast heard. I'm not Paul, but the things you've heard among many witnesses, you're responsible for. We've been through the book of Psalms in a year, 150 Psalms in a year. I thought it was so clever. I thought it was a wonderful idea. I thought it was just a great thing. Here we have, in a year, we have about 150 services, a little more than that, but about 150 services. But you got Easter, and you've got 4th of July, and you got some other things like that, you know. But I thought, you know, we could go through the book of Psalms if we went Psalm 1 on the first service of the new year. And then the next service we'd do Psalm 2. And then the next service Psalm 3. Right on through. And in Founders Conference, whenever Founders Conference came, they had Psalms to preach from. They did Psalms. And we went through Psalms. We went through it. Hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Hard. I had no idea how hard it would be. But it was hard. But I also learned something that I had no idea I would learn. I learned more about the millennium in preaching through Psalms than I've ever learned in seminary, in Bible college, in any place. I've never learned about the millennium and what it will be like on earth as I learned from David talking about not his kingdom, but the greater kingdom when the greater Son of David comes to reign on this earth. And it's in the book of Psalms. I had no idea. I thought Psalms were beautiful and lovely. I had no idea the doctrinal content of the Psalms. The most quoted book of the Old Testament in the New Testament is the book of Psalms. Absolutely amazing. Anyway, we had the public reading of the New Testament from this pulpit. Public reading of the New Testament. Hour after hour after hour after hour till we read from the first word of Matthew to the last word of Revelation. We read through the New Testament. I attempted 24 hours of preaching. I made 22 and three quarters, something like that. 22 and three quarters. 60-some people were here for the whole time. The crowd was never under 100. But 60 people were here through the whole time. They had meals and everything like that, and people would come in and out, people come in, and we had 1,500 people joined us online during the 24 hours, sometime during the 24 hours. And we did 12 hours and so forth. We've done Founders Conference preaching through books of the Bible. We've studied various subjects, everything from prayer to crowns, as I mentioned before. We've had guest preachers from so many different places. Two of them we've had over and over. You know who they are. And they'll be here Sunday. We had lots of music. We've had groups. We've had, what was Diane's name? Played the violin. Osborne. Diane Osborne with the violin concert. Beautiful, beautiful. And of course, Tim Zimmerman, the King's Brass, inspiration of Blackwood Brothers, Preacher's Ensemble. There you go. We've had groups from colleges, from Christian colleges, some good, some bad, some indifferent. But the best groups, and the best soloists, and the best concerts have come right out of this family.
Amen.
They've come right out of this family. And that's good. That's very good. We've grown in many ways. We've grown numerically. In the early days, we grew radically. In recent years, we've not grown as quickly. That's not abnormal. I wish it were not normal, but it is normal. We've grown in souls saved and baptized. I've never been involved in anything that has the number of souls saved that Journey Through Christmas does. I've never been involved anywhere in anything that has had that kind of results. I hear about it on the mission field. I hear about it in some other countries, but don't hear about it in this country. We've grown as individuals and as a church in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There has been growth in that. I've seen some of you grow. I've seen the church grow. I've seen the church mature. I've seen that happen. There's good things about that, and there's some bad things about that. But I've seen that happen. I've seen maturity come into the church. I've grown. As a preacher, I've grown. I'm a better preacher now than I was 20 years ago. At least I think I am. And I've said this so often, I'm getting to the place now I think I know how to do this. I'm really getting a handle on it now. Now I'm going to die. But I've grown. I've grown as a preacher. I've grown as an individual. I've grown as a Christian. I've matured as a Christian. From the time of my Christian maturity at 55 years of age. At this point in my life now, I'm more mature as a Christian than I was at that time. It doesn't mean I didn't love the Lord. Doesn't mean I wasn't dedicated. Didn't mean I didn't serve the Lord. Doesn't mean I was a rebel. I've just matured. I've grown up. Becky's grown. Becky has recorded piano music, but she had never done a concert until about 10 years ago. As far as just sitting down doing a concert, until about 10 years ago. And I listened to her play this week at Southwide. I listened to her play. I've been listening to her play a long time. We've been married 52 years, but I listened to her play a long time before we got married. Now, I don't think she's ever played better than she plays now. Now, it's not supposed to be like that. Whenever you get to a certain point, what is it you call it? Dexterity? Is that what it is? Dexterity, that's supposed to diminish, and you're supposed to be more limited in that. But that hadn't happened with her. It hadn't happened. There have been memorable events, from hurricanes to special services. Been some unusual things, unusual stories. And heaven will have to be the place we remember all of them. But one day we'll gather around the table at the Father's house. And whenever we get home, when we get home, we'll have time to praise the Lord. Amen. And the wonderful thing is, at that time, you know, I speak to you tonight about these things, but I'm speaking from a human perspective. I'm speaking from an earthly perspective. I wish it were more spiritual, but I'm limited in that way. But in heaven, I'll see it all from God's point of view. And I'll see His glory. And I'll praise Him for the things that I didn't understand here. And I'll praise Him for the things that I thought I understood and I really didn't understand at all. I thought I did, but I didn't. But I'll praise Him from His perspective. And I'll praise Him forever and ever and ever. The things that thou hast heard. Now, I'm accountable. I'm accountable to God for what I have prepared and shared with you from this pulpit over these years. But I'm going to tell you also, you're accountable for what you heard. Amen. Well, you think you're something, preacher? No. But I've preached a book at something. And I've talked about somebody who is something. Live for God. Live for God. Live for God. Don't stop. If you fall, get up and go again. Keep on going. Don't quit. Don't quit. I want you to pray for us. I don't know what the future holds. Haven't tried to find out. God will let me know whenever that's the right time. I've got a lot of people telling me what I ought to be doing. And it generally involves something that they're doing. But I don't know. I don't know what that is. But God will make that clear. God will make that plain. As of right now, every chance I get, I'm going to sit in the pew at Joy Baptist Church. Amen. Listen to my boy preach. Amen. I'm going to try to go out and knock some doors and win some people to the Lord and get Him in His church. I'm going to try to contribute wherever God puts me. Don't have any aspirations. Don't have any business cards to give out. Don't have anything to say, here, let me give you this. If you need somebody to come preach a meeting for you, give me a call. Don't have anything to give them. Don't have anything to give them. Don't have any plans on writing a blog. I may tweet every once in a while. I got to quit sometime. But I love you guys. I appreciate you. I'll say more about some specific things on Sunday. But this is, and I like this time with you people that are here tonight. I like this time with you. The kids are out. The teachers don't know where they are. And you with kids in here, whenever you get out of here, I don't know where they're going to be. They may be down at the corner store buying a Coke. I don't know. But we're late. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for people who come together for Bible study and prayer. This is a little different tonight, but it's a little different kind of night, Lord. I ask you to bless them. I look across this group and every person I look at, I see a story. For most of them, I see the street they live on, I see the house. I know where they are. I look across this building and I see the needs of individual lives. I know some of the joys that flood their heart and some of the sorrow that causes them tears. And I thank you that you're the God of all grace. In what we view as good times and in what we view as bad times, but I pray we'll say with David, my times are in thy hands. My good times are in your hands. My bad times are in your hands. My times are in your hands. Lord, I pray tonight for these people individually. I thank you for Shirley, who came tonight to say goodbye because she'll not be able to be here Sunday. I thank you, Lord, that you've loved us and cared for us. And Father, for me and for Becky and for our family, these people have been above and beyond anything that I could ever have imagined people would be for us. I thank them, Lord, but I thank you too for them. Guard them, guide them, keep them close to you, Lord. Keep them in place, serving, working, witnessing, winning others, giving, and sharing with other people of that you have blessed them with. Well, Lord, I guess we need to say goodbye for this time here tonight. But we want to go with your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight, and thank you for allowing me to share my heart with you a little bit. Okay? Amen.